Hi. Just had a good example of from what you look out of determines what you think is out there. So I just turned on the recorder and said to Sabine, it's not working. It's not turning on. She came over and said, look, it's on. I couldn't see it was on because I'm wearing Polaroid glasses and the Polaroid takes away the image on the recorder. So I thought the recorder wasn't on. And you can look at that as life. It's you that determines what's out there. We have no idea what's out there or if anything is out there. We decide that. Now, I know you say, well, if I can touch it, it must be there. But scientists are proving that even vibration is a touch. So it is how we see things, we conclude that's how things are. And we don't realize it's the instrument through which we look and sense that gives us our sense of reality. So someone just said, I feel disappointed. What can I do about that? Now, there is nothing you can do while you think it's an I that is disappointed. Because the I, what you call yourself, I am disappointed. It gets disappointed, it gets elated, it gets sad, it gets angry, it gets all these different things. And if you identify with it, you're going up and down with it. When it goes up, you go up. When it goes down, you go down. The Sufis give a formula for that. They say, this too will pass. And while you're identified with the I, it will pass. This will come, this will go. Things go up, you go up. Things go down, you go down. Until you get the knack. And if you haven't got the knack, if it doesn't happen for you, I suggest you take it as a hypothesis, as an exercise, and practice saying, disappointment is there. Or whatever your name is, John is disappointed. See if you can disconnect from being so identified with who you've been told is you. Now, in one way, it is. It is, you were born into that body, it's been programmed. But if you can say, I am disappointed, who is this I? It's not the I that's saying I'm disappointed. Something else must have a perspective to be able to look from the outside to see that disappointment is there. Because disappointment doesn't know it's disappointed. You see, disappointment doesn't know anything else but disappointment. Happiness itself only knows happiness. There has to be a perspective, and that's how the mind works. The mind works in its opposites. So, the classic, if there was no light, we wouldn't know what dark is. If there was no dark, we wouldn't know what light is. You can't know what a thing is unless you produce its opposite. But even then, what you produce is not reality. It is a part of it, a function of it. So while you're saying, I am disappointed, you are identifying with all your stuff, but not just your stuff, every bit of stuff that anybody else has given you as well. Goes into the brain stores it here and there. This is a fact, this is the way it is. So whenever you have a sensation or you hear something, the brain says, ah, it's this. And it's not this. There isn't a this. There's something else. And until you disconnect from automatically identifying with who you call I, you're caught up in that system. Things are good on the outside, you go up. Things are bad on the outside, you go down. And not only that, good and bad is relative as well. Often things that you thought were bad at the time turn out to be beneficial over the long run. So we have no perspective. We have no idea what's going on. So what to do? That always comes up. What to do? Well, I can tell you what to do. Whether you do it or not depends on your devotion, meaning what do you really want in life? Do you want to keep patching it up, making it feel better for the moment? Or are you ready to let everything go, no matter how bad you feel? You're going to try out a suggestion. Whoever gives you the suggestion, if you feel that they are in that space or they've had that experience, are you ready to give it a try? So, as we keep hearing, the truth cannot be said. If it's said, it's not the truth. And as I keep saying, no, the truth can't be said, and it can be heard, because thou art that. It's there. It's in you. So this is the suggestion. You see, when you say, I am disappointed, if you look very carefully at that, from the outside, if you can, this person is disappointed. Sit them on a chair. Put the imaginary you on a chair and say, this person is disappointed. Now ask them, now, what exactly does that mean? You are disappointed. Now, if you change chairs, get onto the chair and answer yourself, what you'll find is disappointed does not have to do with this moment. It has to do with your projection, your expectation, how you would like things to be. So you're disappointed because of something in the past or in the future. If you are present here and now, you won't be disappointed. And what I'm trying to explain now is something that's finer than that. And I'm going to say it, whether you get it or not, depends upon your devotion. This is how it is, as I see it in this moment. This is my experience. Nothing is more important or less important than anything else. I'll say it again. Nothing is more important or less important than anything else in this very moment. So you're producing a sculpture to go into an exhibition. If you are producing the sculpture to go into an exhibition, you are going to be disappointed. It doesn't matter whether you win the first prize. You're going to be disappointed. What will happen is you'll go up with the announcement, you got the first prize, and then afterwards, the opposite, emptiness. It's gone, it's over. So you say, I've got to produce another one. But the same thing will happen. You'll go up, you'll go down. That's the way it is out there. Until, like the great masters said, once Picasso was asked, this is a wonderful painting. How did you produce this? And he said, I didn't produce it. It produced itself. When Picasso was doing that painting, Picasso wasn't there. Picasso was out of the way. And he allowed whatever we call it, the force, to come through and utilize his skills in shape and color, if that's the way you see his painting. Some people don't. They used his experience, his skills there, but it wasn't his skills and his experience that produced that painting. When a painting is produced by skills and experience, it can be very nice, and that's all. If you walk through a big art gallery, a museum, you'll walk through, very nice, oh yes, and then every now and again you'll stop, and it's as though the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Oh! And you look at it and you can't understand it, because it doesn't look much different from all the others, but there's something there. And what's there is, when the artist produced that, they weren't there. Their skills were there, their experience was there, and they were out of the way, and let something come through. They were not thinking about the future. Here's a Sufi story, told it many times. There was a king who always invited the very finest musicians to his court. He had a wonderful young singer. People used to come from all over to listen to him. And one day it dawned on the king, this young man must have had a teacher. And it's possible that his teacher is better than him. He asked the young man and said, oh yes, my master is much better than I am. He's totally something else. The king said, I must have him here. The young man said, he won't come. So he said, I have to go and hear him sing. He said, right. So they put on peasant's clothes, went on the road, came to a group of trees, and the young man said, now we go into these trees and watch that hut down by the river, but be very quiet. In the dawn, this incredible voice came from the hut. The king was all goose pimples. He'd never heard anything like it. Anything like it. He said, that's absolutely magnificent. He said, why can't you sing like that? Your voice is the same tone. It has the same strength. The young man says, because I sing for you. My master is just singing. For the moment. If you do a sculpture and you're skilled and you're experienced, for the moment, you will be fulfilled. No matter what anybody else says, that moment will be fulfilling because you are doing it for this moment. But I'm not just talking about sculpture. I'm talking about brushing your teeth. If you are there, totally there for that experience, you'll feel an expansion that's beyond description. This moment, for this moment, whatever you are doing, if it's a work of art and you're out of the way, people will be moved by that. Go to the Taj Mahal. It's a tomb. Just look at it. You'll get tingles. Go inside, your hairs will stand on the back of your neck. That was produced by a Sufi who was not there when he had it built. He was out of the way. Go to the pyramids. Go to the big cathedrals in Europe. Stand in a certain place and you'll have an experience. If you're there, if you're present, you'll feel a tingle. You'll feel your frequency rise. For that moment, you'll feel everything is perfect. Because it is. We keep getting out of the moment with our expectations of how things should be and shouldn't be. Things change on the outside. The way we want them, we go up. They're not the way we want them, we go down. There's another place in you right now. So how to practice? Be in the moment. Do what you're doing just for the sake of what you're doing in that very moment. Now, don't listen to this because your life is going to be different. Listen to this because you're listening to this. Not because. Are you enjoying listening to this? Drop deeply into the enjoying. If you say, ah, this is going to be useful, you're gone, you're gone. Here, now, listening to this, just for now.